The University of Nevada, Las Vegas may someday include a medical school. Dr. Barbara Atkinson's job as planning dean is to raise enough money to make the UNLV School of Medicine a reality. Barbara Atkinson comes to Las Vegas after a decade spent running the University of Kansas Medical School. During her time at Kansas, she oversaw a new campus in Salina and the expansion of the medical school in Wichita. Both projects successfully addressed Kansas's physician shortage. Dr. Barbara Atkinson says it will take lawmakers, regents, accreditation, and local philanthropists to make UNLV's medical school a reality. Barbara Atkinson, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me.
So what's your vision for the UNLV School of Medicine?
Well, it's my vision, and it's the vision of the leaders of the University of Nevada, Las Vegas as well, and that's to have a real full-service academic medical center here in Las Vegas. And full-service means a clinical enterprise that includes primary care and specialists of all kinds, a research enterprise that does all kinds of basic research, but also clinical and translational research, and most importantly, education of physicians of tomorrow, PhD researchers of tomorrow.
Nevada faces a real physician shortage. We have for a long time. We're something like 46th nationally in the number of doctors per capita, about 71 primary care physicians per 100,000 residents. There are some who see a UNLV medical school as a solution. How is it a solution to a physician shortage like that?
Well, first of all, we would make more doctors. So there would just be more doctors graduating from medical school. But that's not enough. You have to then have residency programs to train them in primary care and specialties. And then most importantly, you have to try to keep them in Nevada. And you have to try to keep others coming into Nevada, because that's what really will get enough physicians here. So we plan on starting with 60 students per class, but then we plan on increasing it to 120 per class. And so we'll have about 480 in the school at any one time once we get up and going.
There are those in Las Vegas, too, who think it would be more cost-effective if Nevada were to focus on expanding medical residencies to solve the doctor shortage. Is that a viable alternative to creating a medical school?
Well, the problem is it's not an alternative. We need both. You have to have places for the students that graduate to stay and get a residency, but it's not enough to just have residencies, because you can't fill them with people who are going to stay in Nevada if you don't already be training your own. So you really have to look to your own pool, and you have to look for a pool of students who are from neighboring states, Arizona, California, Utah, for instance, and try to keep them and make it exciting to practice in Nevada and make it exciting to train as a resident here. And then you'll solve your problem. It's both.
Both. The Lindsay Institute estimates the cost of a UNLV medical school something like $75 to $80 million. So that's got to be close to job one as you get going here. You've had some experience overseeing new campuses. I'd mentioned Salina and Wichita in Kansas. What's the track record like with fundraising?
Well, the track record for fundraising has been good. Mine has been good. If you have something that's a good cause and you can make a case for it, people respond to that. If it's something that they care about, and their own health care is something that most people care about, whether they can find a doctor for the disease they might have or for the disease somebody in their family has, find that person in Las Vegas, that's important. Whether they're enough of whatever the specialists are. As I've talked to people throughout the university and beginning to do some talking outside the university, I have a story from everybody about having to go somewhere else because a specialist is missing. Or for something like even a dermatologist, going to Baylor for a dermatologist, not because there aren't very excellent ones here in Las Vegas, but because there are not enough of them. It's a very long wait for an appointment. So making it personal to people, showing them what the case is, then people who have money to spend and who want to do something good for their community are usually willing to give.
Now, the Lindsay study also estimated that a medical school would add about $1.1 billion in economic development and maybe some 8,000 jobs or so. It's a different scale from Salina, which is a kind of a smaller town in central Kansas, and from Wichita, which is a little bit bigger, but still is a fraction the size of Las Vegas. What was the economic development of starting the small campuses in that state?
Well, the economic development, this is sort of two parts. I'll just say that for the University of Kansas, there's only, it's like Nevada. There's only one school in the state. And nationally, everybody has looked at the impact of in each state of the medical schools in that state. In Kansas, the University of Kansas Medical School did have an impact of about $1.2 billion a year for the state of Kansas. So it's not unrealistic to think a medical school could have that level of impact. On the other hand, in Kansas, the Wichita and Salina campuses were aimed much more at physicians who would stay in Kansas and generating those, rather than just looking at the economic impact. And we know from the Salina experience that having residency programs in Salina, almost every one of those residents stayed in Kansas to practice. So hopefully starting students who want to be, who come from rural backgrounds, who've been in a rural program while they were in college, and then come to a rural site to get their training, will almost certainly stay and practice in rural Kansas.
Was that a big function of expanding the decision to expand the campus in Wichita? The idea of retaining more medical students?
Yes. Wichita has had a very good track record. It's been a third and fourth year campus for 50 students for over 35 years. So we have a long experience of third and fourth year students there. And many of them, a higher proportion of them than the ones that train in Kansas City, have stayed in the state of Kansas to practice. So expanding that to a class of 100 and for all 4 years of the medical school was really, again, a very calculated thing to try to keep as many students and residents as we can in the state.
As the process was underway in both Salina and in Wichita, did you make mental notes, you know, just the things that's like, okay, next time I do this, I'm going to do things a little differently?
No, I said all along that this was the last time I was ever going to be dean of anything. So, but no, I did learn a lot about how to do it and how to start it up and what the accreditation process is and what works and what doesn't work.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Dr. Barbara Atkinson. She was recently named planning dean of the proposed UNLV School of Medicine. As UNLV's planning dean, she'll oversee preliminary planning for curriculum, raise money for construction, and establish an advisory committee to align the region's medical needs with the school's mission. This is a state, you may have known that before coming out here, which has never really been known for generously funding education. We've already got a medical school in Reno, although that's 400-plus miles up the road. So how do you persuade lawmakers that it's worthwhile building a second medical facility in a state with so many needs?
I think you need to make the case for why there is a need, and clearly you outlined it at the beginning. This is one of the worst states in terms of number of doctors per capita, in terms of numbers of specialty programs, of terms of numbers of residents who stay and practice in the state. There's a huge need for doctors here. There's a huge need for research that goes with it. The research that's done in academic medical centers helps improve the care of patients, not just in this region, but nationally. What the research does, though, is try to work on problems that are particular to Las Vegas. So what kinds of research that we'll try to develop here in Las Vegas will be things that might have to do with mental health or with addictions, the kinds of things that are shortages right here in this community that need solving. And sometimes you solve it by more doctors, but sometimes you solve it by curing the disease in the first place. So you need to work on the research part at the same time as you work on the education part. So I think the case can be made then economically at $1.2 billion to add to the economy is certainly substantial as well. And there are some people that rings a bell with. Other people, it's much more apt to be my own personal health care and making that better.
Is that the means by which you convince the public it's necessary as well, is to personalize it in that way?
Yes. And I think the public has to be behind it. Mm-hmm. The public needs to understand what's missing. They need to understand it and then want to do whatever they can to support it. And sometimes it's moral support. Sometimes it's financial support. Sometimes it's not even very much financial support, but it's enough to show that the community really is behind that. And I'll just tell you, as an anecdote, one of the main things that I was proud of in Kansas, besides starting the new campuses, was we actually brought a National Cancer Institute designated cancer center to the region. Kansas City had been one of the largest sites with no NCI designated cancer center. And so people who had some of the unusual cancers had to leave town to go to MD Anderson or the Mayo Clinic or someplace else for their cancer care. And it took 10 years. It took $500 million. And we were able to bring that cancer center, and it brought all the specialists. It brought some very important research programs for the community, looking at public health issues, and it's been a real boon to the community. So figuring out what a community needs, making a case for it, and then building it is what's essential.
You came from a state, Kansas, which is not exactly a tax-friendly state either, much like, not unlike Nevada. I assume you've got to look at mixing things, bonds, state credits, federal tax credits to fund the construction. And I'm assuming all of that would have to be in the mix.
Right. And we did. We got a whole variety of different funding sources. We started with a $5 million appropriation from the state, which has grown. This was specifically just for cancer, an extra $5 million. We had a foundation that actually gave us $50 million for the project. We had a county, not even the county where the medical center is, but the one next door to it that passed a sales tax to support the NCI-designated center. And then we had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of individual donors that helped support this effort. So you put together what effort you need and ask the right people for money and make the case.
Have you made that map in Las Vegas? Have you started to reach out to, say, the gaming industry or other big economic players?
We're only thinking about what to do. We're at the process of making
early on
making the case. We will be, we hope that we'll be able to make a very strong case.
Let's say, hypothetically, you just knock on a few doors and pretty soon you've got the $80 million or so in the bank to build a medical school. When do you think UNLV would be able to open it?
Well, the opening part, the hope is that we open it in 2017. We take our first class in 2017. That is a very aggressive start date for us because of the accreditation process. At an absolute minimum, that is the earliest time it could be. It could be later.
Do you think that's reasonable?
Do I think it's reasonable?
It certainly sounds ambitious, aggressive. Do you think it is plausible?
I think it's plausible. I think it's going to take a lot of hard work. It's going to take a lot of money up front because you have to be ready the year before that. You have to already have all your admissions in place. You have to have faculty in place. You have to have the curriculum ready. You have to have the facilities, at least a temporary facility, if not the final education building, ready. So there's a lot that has to be done that takes a lot of very fast upfront money. So if we can gather that, that's when it'll open. And if it takes us longer to gather it, it'll just take us longer to be able to take the first class. But can I just go back to the amount of money? I should have probably corrected it earlier. I'd say that's the amount of money for an educational building for a medical school. It's not the cost of a new medical school. The cost of a new medical school is a lot more than that. And we need an educational building early. It has to be a hole in the ground by the time the first class starts. But we'll need a research building ultimately, and we'll need a clinical building for the physicians who are faculty members to practice. And so there's at least three buildings needed ultimately. And the recruitment costs for new faculty, some of whom will be basic science research people and educators, and some will be clinicians who are very advanced, coming out, we hope, of the best programs across the country, who are specialists in new things for Las Vegas, to build a practice here. And starting a practice is expensive as well. So it's going to cost
$80 million. This is just the tip of the iceberg.
This is the first building.
How much are we talking about here? A whole lot more. Is it orders of magnitude?
Orders of magnitude more, but with the return, remember, of $1.2 billion a year when it finishes. So, yes, more.
Nevada's universities have a track record that suggests that they haven't been very aggressive. In the past, it's come to things like trying to attract the National Institutes of Health, Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, and not a lot got done with some of those efforts. How do you change that culture from kind of passive to a little more aggressive when it comes to drawing talent here?
Well, I'd say you hire the right people. And I mean, I'm pretty aggressive about things like that. So I'm pretty confident that we can make it happen. But I just say from UNLV, one of the things that impressed me in interviewing here was that they have started a really excellent law school. It's only about 10 years old and it's done extremely well. The dental school is only about 10 years old or maybe a little less than that. And it's done extremely well now and really producing dentists for the state. And so I think there is a track record here of being able to build new schools, start them up and get them going quickly and do a really fine job with them.
As you noted earlier in our conversation, you retired a couple of years ago after a decade at the University of Kansas. How did you get pulled in off the bench for this? What drew you to Las Vegas?
Yes, well, that's an interesting question that I still some days ask myself. You know, it was the people here. It was the vision for what the school should be, that it really was the thought of really trying to plan and build something that you know could be even better than anything that you've been where you've been before, that you can pull the best of what you've seen. And I was dean in another medical school in Philadelphia as well, so I've been dean twice before, and so have a lot of experience with seeing other places. So the people and their vision, then the people I talked to when I interviewed, who really made me see that there are a lot of other people in Las Vegas who have the same kind of vision for what Las Vegas needs for their medical care and for the future.
Dr. Barbara Atkinson is the dean for the proposed UNLV School of Medicine. Barbara Atkinson, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.